This period of time is a period of Dharma inquiry, Dharma teachings and practices which contribute to waking us up to a wise and liberated way of life. With the next couple of minutes, I'll give a couple few outlines with regard to the inquiry and one or two modifications that have taken place. So with the inquiry, you will see there is an empty seat there, and there is a microphone beside the two cushions, and anyone who wishes is very welcome to come and take a seat. That is, anyone who has not ever been up for an inquiry with myself before, because some of you I know well and you've been up before, and to give others some opportunity to take the seat. The intentionality with the inquiry is a reflection, an investigation, a shared looking into things which possibly will contribute to an insight, to an understanding, or some inspiration, or whatever. The inquiry time might last for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes. I think the longest was about an hour and 20 minutes. I remember it well. The subject, this is true, the subject was sex. Surprise, surprise. So, with the inquiry time and the sharing, at any time the person or myself can say thank you to bring it to a close. Anytime, person or myself. Upon the thank you, she or he returns to their seat. There is a quiet minute or two, and then I'll extend another invitation. So in the period of time that we have, around 50 minutes, sometimes 1, 2, 3, 4 people will come, and at the very end I'll just give a short reflection on some of the points that some of the people said with the inquiry. It may well be with the inquiry that I ask the person some questions, she or he asked. So it's a kind of interview of the situation. For those of you sitting and listening, for there to be, as much as possible, the fullness of the listening. And with the fullness of the listening, that's externally, two people, two human beings, having an exchange about things which matter, and equally listening inwardly to oneself. The few extra factors which I added here. One, that's quite some time ago now, that we do really focus and concentrate here rather than speaking about external, about the daily life. On the final morning, Elia and Iran and I will speak to you about the transition from here to daily life. The other request as well is that it's very much on Dharma issues, and very specifically here, rather free from the interpersonal that goes on about oneself in relationship to other people, family members, and friends, and so forth. I'd like to keep those to the one to one. They are important, but those primarily to the one to ones, and also free from the stories. And sometimes the stories stay in a certain kind of context. I'm actually looking for some exploration together on the Dharma, on meditation, on the immediacy of experience here and now, on mindfulness, on clarity, on experience, and really to keep the focus there. That may include in that, of course, some questions about the practice, about methods and forms. It may include sharing of immediate experience here, and if we can give that the priority, I do feel there will be the opportunity in the speaking and also in the listening for there to be more depth. Clear? We'll see. All right, so also where possible, some change and alternation with the gender is also much appreciated, hopefully by both genders. So anyone who would like to come and to take the seat here, we're using, Asaf has very kindly provided us with a microphone, so our good voices should flow quite easily to those of you at the back. And finally, of course, I have the recorder. And I'll check with you when you come if it's okay with the recording, and if it is, then it's a small reminder that there are 7 billion people in the world. And if you prefer that none of them hear it, then let me know and I'll switch it off. All right, enough. So anyone who would like to come and take the seat, you're welcome. With the recording? So you see this, the microphone just beside you. Yeah. Okay, you said? Okay, yes, please.
Maybe I change my mind later.
She whispered, maybe she'll change her mind. You just, all you have to do is say thank you and then you're on your horse. Yes. You'll have to hold the mic a little close.
Can I ask or I tell you something?
You can tell me something. Okay. And then you can ask. Okay. All right, go on.
In my practice.
Is it switched on?
I don't know.
All right, where you go?
In my practice, I reach.
Is the sound?
You know? Can you hear me?
Asaf? Is it good to be closer?
Okay. Mm. Usually when I sit.
Can you hear?
No.
Asaf will adjust.
Or I can try it louder. I'm not used to this.
No. Take your time, there's no rush.
When I sit, usually.
Better?
I have better concentration.
Keep the voice up.
And I feel I reach a point where there is confusion. Because I see multiple options.
Yes.
I don't know how to say this because I want to say, and I cannot choose because I feel I need to choose something and
Go on. There's some concentration, and as you pointed out, in any of the meditations, it can touch a place, which is fine, and in that touching of the place, it releases, it exposes some confusions. And the confusions can generate a variety of choices. Is that what I heard?
The confusion comes from a variety of objects.
Okay.
I haven't used my words in a few days.
So, no, I appreciate it. It isn't easy. Would you like to say, in terms of the confusion, two or three or four of those objects which have enough impact to produce the confusion?
Yes, and to produce the feeling that they need to choose for the concentration to...
All right. So there's some concentration, some samadhi, this Pali Sanskrit word, and then there is some experience of confusion through some stimulation or stimulus from some objects, and then the feeling arises, humanly enough, of needing to choose. Still keeping with the question, what kind of objects, what kind of choice?
So it can be something from the past that needs to be solved. It can be visual.
Yes.
This can all happen at one time.
Yeah, okay.
Pain.
Yeah.
But everything somehow surfaces.
Yeah, right.
In the same volume.
Yes. It's a good point, and others will be able to relate quite well and easily with the experience. And so there's the meditation process going, and then kind of simultaneously the memory comes in. There can be some pain in the body, there can be some present activity going on around, what you see or what you hear. What is a way for you to come to a skillful and wise choice when you've got two or three or more stimulations?
I don't know how to say it in words, but okay, maybe love what would be the right word.
Which word?
Let go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Usually more things come in
yes.
when I do this.
All right.
And sometimes I find a connection with a body pain.
Yes.
And the memory.
Yeah.
Or not. And then I have doubt.
All right. Concentration, stimulus, memory, the present moment, pain, choosing to doubt. Quite often, what's revealed in the meditation, and thank you for the good sharing there, what's revealed in the meditation could be precisely the same sequence as a pattern which is going on numerous occasions. Some concentration, objects arising, memory is coming, bit of confusion, making choices. Three or four that you mentioned, what would be the value decisively and immediately of picking out one?
Doubt.
The doubt. Would you?
No, wait, making decisions.
Yeah. Okay. Good. So, if you focus on one, it's the invitation to the doubt, is it? Yes?
Yes.
She said yes. Rather apologetically, I should add. When I listened just now, work with the pain in the body. Why might I say that? You could say, oh, I could work with the past memories, I could work with what's going on around me in the present moment, I could work with the doubt, or I could work with the pain in the body. Why might it be beneficial in this to give extra interest and exploration to the bodily experience?
I understand the suggestion, and this is...
What do you understand about it?
That this is the first retreat I haven't fallen asleep.
First retreat you haven't fallen asleep?
Because I did my best to stay.
Yeah, I saw you sitting there with some quiet determination. So that will, in that, you're not falling asleep, because sometimes the falling asleep, sometimes, is a way of avoiding pain. So sitting there, and then the pain arises, and of course that can then stimulate the other. What is your way of working with pain?
I try to breathe too.
Pardon?
I try to breathe
breathe through it.
I don't know how to breathe through it, but wherever the breath goes.
All right.
So, I don't know.
Would it be worthwhile, with the concentration and staying with it, to keep the mindfulness or the concentration and the breath working with pain in the body, essentially to expand the pain horizons? Understand? To expand?
Can you say it
again? Would it be worthwhile using the concentration to and the breath to work with the human experience of physical pain, using the resources, the breath, the relaxation, the concentration, with the purpose of expanding out the horizons of pain? To open out the cells of the body where pain is being experienced.
It's worth trying, but I have to...
Go on.
It's worth trying, but I have to read the sentence to follow the point. It was too long again.
All right. Feel free to say. So I'll go slowly for the shorter points. There is pain in the body. Clear?
Yes.
There is the motivation, the intention, or the choice to work with this pain. The breath can be supportive. You could put the power of the concentration to the locality of the pain. Where do you experience the pain strongest when you're sitting over there? Which part of the body?
My knees or my shoulders.
Knees or the shoulders, yeah, they're the two popular spots. So there's some pain in the knees. We can put the attention, the mindfulness, the concentration into the area, quietly experience it, relax, checking the rest of the body is relaxed, feeling the pain. Perhaps the pain just becomes more intense for a while. Perhaps it begins to break up. Perhaps we're looking at the pain from underneath it, above it, the sides, going into the epicenter of it, helping to break it up, open it out, checking regularly with the rest of the body, you're not fighting. And that is the expanding of the pain horizons.
And then sometimes the breath is...
And
then sometimes the breath is...
What?
Is a fight.
The breath is a fight. In which way?
Go on. It feels very shallow, or feels like there is very little that is not enough. Sometimes I breathe very little and it's...
So far in 45 years of teaching, everybody got up and walked out. So I've got real confidence in you. So sometimes the breath is very short. It is very minimal. But everybody so far has had enough. It could change. So it takes a little confidence to say, here I am, breathing in and out, and as you say, sometimes working with pain, the breath is shallow, I agree.
Actually, now I realize it's another way of pain.
Yeah. So the expansion of the body life is the important thing here. You can make a great contribution to reducing the profits of the pharmaceutical industry. You just breathe in and breathe out. And as a human being, the expanding of the cells, returning then to the in-breathing and out-breath, it might be very shallow, it might be very thin, as you pointed out, but there is a certain integrity to be with this experience. If it comes to the point of fighting with it, then you stretch the legs, you change the posture. Fighting is hopeless. Enough?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So we'll have a quiet minute or two together first, please. Yes, anyone, anytime. With the recording, okay. You can say yes or no.
I'd rather not.
No problem with not recording. Yes.